we'll get the music back. We're going to do a short podcast today. So so for that reason, we are we're using our recording app on the iPad because it was the reason why we weren't using it is because it was timing out on us.
At like 40 minutes.
40 minutes, and we'd lose like a bunch of the stuff. No bueno.
And our podcasts usually go much longer than 40 minutes.
Yeah, you know, we average like right around an hour and 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Right around
that's
there.
Great. I think that's perfect.
I think so too. A lot of podcasts that I listen to, they break them up. If they go over an hour, they break them up into two, like a part one and a part two.
Huh.
I don't know what the benefit to that would be.
No, I don't.
Because you can always like just drag the slider over.
Right. And it doesn't. Maybe it's about uploading or something like that.
Maybe
a smaller file.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's it. I have a little bit of an echo. I kind of like it. I can hear it in my ears. You can't hear it.
No, I can't hear it.
So I'm here with Kim Smith. It's just the two of us today.
Good morning, Gloucester.
A sleepy little Sunday.
Yeah. Not really, not on Good Harbor. It's not sleeping, it's action. A lot of action down there.
Danger.
A lot of plover action. We have a lot of hormonal plovers right now. Very hormonal. We have the pair, and then we have the lonely bachelor who wants to get in on absolutely everything.
Oh. Yeah. So there's a potential love triangle?
Yes. Definitely.
Potential love piping plover love triangle.
Yes.
So now will they fight to the death for her honor?
No, they. I hope that the other one gives up eventually. The papa plover flies over him. He doesn't bite him. He flies over him really close and then lands in front of him. And that's his way of like, you know, trying to get rid of him. It's really
the alpha plover.
Yes, there is, and there's, you know, and then
hierarchy.
Every morning when I go down to the beach or if I go see him in the afternoon, they're all lined up in a row, feeding papa, mama, and the lonely bachelor further down the beach. It's really funny to see it. It really is.
Have you ever photographed a piping plover, Bina?
Yes, I posted it the other day.
Picture of the Bina?
It's piping plovers, all birds have a cloaca. They don't really have a what you call
a Bina.
A penis. We can just say penis, I think.
Okay.
And so they all birds have a little vent-shaped thing on their abdomen. Down by the tail.
All
and,
birds.
Yeah, and from that comes, and from the cloaca, eggs are emitted, poo is emitted.
And the same thing?
Mm-hmm, and sperm. So when the...
Wait, back up. So all you said all birds.
Well,
so all birds are male and female or not?
So there's a male and a female. And but the cloaca on the male is usually much larger and more swollen during mating, during breeding, and it swells up.
But females can't do semen.
No, but that's
okay.
From the same cloaca comes, she deposits the eggs as well. So, have I described this to you before? When they're mating, what happens is the male digs a little nest scrape, and then he invites the female to come over and look, and he lifts up his butt and she's looking at the nest, and she's also looking at his cloaca. And then they both start throwing extra little sticks and pebbles in. And then he does this hysterical, he puffs out his chest and does this high-stepping goose step thing. And then
it's go time, baby.
Right. And then oftentimes she just runs away.
Well, depending on the on the cloaca,
right,
you might be a little scared of what's going to happen.
Right, and because it does get rough sometimes. Last night I filmed it and got really rough. So, and then after this goes on back and forth, and for a little while, then he'll jump on her back, and their joint, he's sort of like
inverted.
She's flipped up, and he so. like their heads are both facing in the same direction. Here, yeah. I'll post a
like
picture
doggy style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then...
Well, you can't say that because that would make it easy for people to understand if you just said doggy style.
Yeah, well, I wasn't thinking of that because there's no penis going in. They're rubbing the cloacas together.
Like to fertilize it.
Mm-hmm. And then during that time, the sperm is passed to the... through the female plovers or any bird's reproductive system. So it's very hard to sex birds without doing DNA samples, because if it's not mating season, then you don't... The cloaca becomes very engorged during mating season. So it's very obvious which is the... when they bend over, which is the male and the female at this time. But in a month, you wouldn't be able to tell. But there's other ways to tell if they're male or female.
There must be, because you identified them from the get-go as papa and not papa.
So the papa always runs in this very, like, low to the ground, very sort of aggressive little... he looks like a little torpedo running around on the beach. And the female runs with a little hippie hop, kind of skippy little run. And then she has a much oftentimes, not always the case, but in this case, our female has the beautiful little band at the top of their head. Hers is a little paler, softer gray, and his is a blacker, more striking, deeper gray. And the same with their collar. His collar is wider around the neck. It's very subtle, and it's easier to see if you're looking at photos of them side by side. But I can tell just by how they're acting on the beach.
Well, you're also the resident professional. The go-to person.
If you stood on the beach every morning for two hours, you would know which one was which.
Absolutely. The untrained eye is probably absolutely, like, right. Forget about it.
Right. Most people are like, oh, I saw five today. And I'm like, no, it was three plovers and two sanderlings or whatever.
Well, yes.
You know, so.
Like the ones from Naples that come up here.
Ready turnstiles.
The ready turnstiles. You've corrected me.
So I actually have a picture of them mating, so I can post that. You can see what.
Yeah, I want to see the big cloaca.
Well, I posted the cloaca like two posts ago. You can see it. It's a big V-shaped swollen vent when the papa's tipped over, and you can see it.
Okay,
look. Yeah. I know, it's too much.
Right?
Is this TMI?
This is TMI. I'm blushing. I'm all flustered over here.
TMI about flustered.
Plover porn. No other, I can, you know what, I bet you there's no other site in the whole universe that does plover porn like we do. We're all about it.
All right, well, I hope you're going to put that in the header there, plover porn.
Plover porn, yes, I'm going to have to put that in, yeah. I didn't mention yet, but we'll mention it quickly, free tickets to Cape Ann Community Cinema. If you share this on Facebook, there'll be one pair awarded. You can go directly to the website if you click on the link in the show notes, and the listings are at the top of the blog. Plover porn. I'm adding it as we speak. To the top of the show notes right there.
Yes, I was calling the bachelor the lonely bachelor, but Tom calls him the horny bachelor. The horny bachelor.
I would say. It's almost like a bad 80s like disco scene. Right? Like they're in the club, right? Yeah. And they're wearing like really like, big gold chain. He's got his shirt like unbuttoned down to his navel. A lot of chest hair.
That's the hot to trot plover, definitely. That's how
machismo. A lot of machismo. Earth Day cleanup day yesterday. I saw a lot of people out with yellow bags.
Yeah, it was awesome. I saw the people marching up and down Good Harbor Beach, because that's where I was watching the plovers from, and they
for 3 hours.
Yeah, and they were doing a beautiful. Yeah, they were doing a beautiful job. Everybody was, really doing a great job.
They're such a good group.
Yeah.
And you stopped by. How many people were over at the party at One Ocean, One Love?
Right. Well, when I just stopped by briefly to take photographs, I'd say 40 people.
Wow. That's a good turnout.
There's a whole bunch of Coast Guard guys. I mean, there's
kids. What were the Coast Guard? I saw pictures with the Coast Guard guys. What were they doing there?
I think that they had a station, too, because one of the team captains was one of the gentlemen from the Coast Guard. So I think that they had a team out there as well.
I feel like today, yesterday afternoon, and today, I don't want to say this because potentially you could jinx it, but there was just a little hint of spring in the air.
Yeah.
Just like the tiniest hint of spring in the air.
Yeah, I think yesterday was I felt that yesterday too.
Not till the afternoon, because the morning I'm gonna chill all
right. And it's still 36 on the beach in the morning, as it was this morning. And today also, today is actually Earth Day. Today is the actual day. But people do so much around Earth Day. Now it's Earth Day week.
You can't mention. Wait a second.
Yeah.
You can't mention Earth Day without someone obnoxiously stating, it should be every day.
Earth Day.
And Kate was the first person guilty of that on Facebook that I saw. But it's always, there's always someone. It should be Earth Day every day.
Okay, well, yeah. I do agree with that.
Of course, yeah. That's one of those things, yeah, for sure.
Well, there's actually, it was actually when it was first declared at the United Nations, it got a lot of people angry because they were trying to make an International Earth Day, and in the Southern Hemisphere, April is like, you know,
oh, the darkness, total darkness,
or something. Fall now on that day. So I don't know what the conclusion was, if they celebrate a different day as Earth Day or not, or if everybody just stayed on the same page and kept April 22nd. I don't know.
We're not going to have the annual conversation that we've had probably for the last 4 years about how Earth Day, the thing that we always say, talk about? Like, sometimes Earth Day doesn't fall on a weekend.
Oh, right.
And they should move it so that they could get everybody lined up on a Saturday to, like, really get it.
I think that's why they're doing, like the thing at Salem Shakes. Right.
They won't say Earth Week.
Right.
They'll say Earth Day Week.
Earth Days Week.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so crazy. I think,
I said we weren't going to have that conversation,
but we just
had the conversation.
Oh, I'm going to put a post up. So this really nice young woman who goes to Salem State wrote a really nice article about the event, and she posted it online. She posted it at Wicked Local Salem. So,
I need the link. So what's the name of the article?
I've got a post scheduled. Can you see it in my can you see it in my
posts? Let's see. Salem State keynote speaker Kim Smith spotlights plight of the monarch's butterflies. Oh, you wrote that in third person.
That's the title. That was the title of her.
You could have gave it to me, and I would have posted it, so you don't look like you're posting about yourself.
I know. What can I do?
Well, you could have. I'm sure Catherine would have been happy to do it. You could have done. You could have secretly, quietly said Joey, this is a nice thing. Can you post it?
All right, I'll do that in the future.
So someone named Kim Smith wrote this post that said, Salem State University keynote speaker Kim Smith spotlights plight of the monarch butterflies.
I don't want to bother you with this.
I don't know who this Kim Smith could be that wrote about this about you. That's really nice of her, though.
It was a very nice student. Shelby McCree was her name. So, yeah.
No, Kim Smith wrote this article. No. I don't know who this Shelby McCray is.
If you click on the article away, I give her the byline.
Right,
oh,
of
my
course.
God.
Yeah, no, everybody should read this article. Everybody that loves you, definitely read this article. And even if you don't love Kim, okay.
Even if you don't, it'll just make you madder at her.
We talk about this all the time. The three worst things that can happen to you as an individual is... You can get a grant,
because
then there's a ton of people that hate you and envy you for getting the grant.
Because they wanted it.
They wanted it. And so then they have to spread malicious lies about how undeserving you are. What are some of the other things? Oh, if you're on television or featured, your picture is in the newspaper.
Right.
That's very bad. Very bad. You know, one every once in a long while is okay.
Right,
but if you get two or three back-to-back in the course of a couple of weeks, then the comments start coming in the periphery, like, oh, Mr. Big Shot. Oh, Mr. Big Shot. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Camera whore. Oh, you're always trying to get in the paper.
Yeah.
So you're just better. Sometimes you're just better off. Like
This is obviously speaking from a voice of experience.
Right? I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. There's certain things.
Yeah, getting that award from Salem State really didn't sit well.
So bringing the haters out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a lot of people. Just from the comments that people comment, you know that you have a huge love. Like whenever you have, whenever you have like one of your seed disbursement things here, and your fans come out in droves to get the milkweed seeds and everything, so you know there's a lot of love for you. But the haters, see, this is the thing. The perception is you get a couple of those comments, and in your head, like, oh my God, people can't stand me. But really, it's just a few haters that have that. It's eating them up so much that they have to let you know. So like you just, it's just a couple people that are out there. It's really not a lot of people.
But
in your mind,
they always say,
you could get 1,000 people thank you for the blog,
or
thank you for what you do with the butterflies, whatever.
Right.
And the one person that says some nasty shit to you, and it ruins your whole week.
It's so true.
That's the way it works.
It's true.
We have a couple of, actually, I think we share the number one hater. My number one hater, I think she has disdain for both of us. Yeah.
You'll have to tell me afterwards.
Yeah, I think you know who it is.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, yeah.
Big time hater.
Yeah.
Big time hater.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, haters. Haters gotta hate. There we go.
Oh, yeah. Good.
There you go. Gloucester Rocks. Are you familiar with this Facebook phenomenon?
Mm-mm.
Gloucester Rocks?
Mm-mm. No.
In all your travels, you're out on the beach all the time. You haven't run across a...
No.
Really?
No.
This is a big thing right now.
No.
People are painting rocks and said, post this to the Gloucester Rocks Facebook page.
Oh, okay. No. Oh, actually, didn't Bridget Matthews write about that a while ago? Did she? Or was that something else?
She probably did. I'm not sure. But Kate goes for walks and says...
And she keeps finding
them and she replants them. But she's
that's nice...
Yeah, it's nice. I found...
That one's really pretty.
Kate found this one.
Yeah, what does it say on it?
It says, go to
Keep your heart growing. Oh, that's really sweet. With little flowers planted on it.
Yeah, and then it says...
Go to Facebook Gloucester. It's Gloucester Rocks.
Gloucester Rocks, yeah.
Gloucester Rocks, wow. That's very charming.
Yeah, so I found on my grill. I went out to grill yesterday.
Yeah.
And on my grill, there was a T-bone steak.
Rock.
It was the shape of a T-bone steak, and it was painted like a T-bone steak.
Awesome. Oh, somebody just did that?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
And it says Gloucester Rock, so I posted it. I did what they say. I posted it.
Oh, that's so fun. Did you put the picture on the blog? Are you going to do that?
I did it. I put it on northeastbarbecue.com
instead
of Good Morning. And I probably shared it to
people. Put it on GMJ, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a really cool thing. There's a lot of inspirational ones. It brings beauty. But, what I think... What Kate really wanted to do with... There's a rock right in front of us.
Yeah.
The one that she found. What she meant to do was... She travels for work quite a bit. She meant to go and plant it in Punta Cana. She forgot to take it to Punta Cana.
Oh, what a good idea.
Yeah.
You guys take one to Naples.
Maybe I'll take my steak one to Naples.
Oh, no, don't take that one. That's too special. Somebody painted that especially for you.
I know, but I think the whole... Maybe I should read up on it a little more. I don't know if the idea is to hold on to it, or if the idea is to pay it forward and just keep,
and seeing
where they show up again.
Yeah.
Because if you might have the same rock,
you could put it on a fellow friend's. They'll know about it. Never mind. They'll have read about it. That was a dumb idea. Never mind.
See, if Craig Kimberly didn't live all the way across Gloucester. In basically the Antarctica.
All the way to Lanesville, right?
Yeah, that's basically Antarctica. Anything anything past where the rotary is, that might as well be a foreign country.
OMG, Joe.
No, you know the second rotary by O'Malley School and stuff like that? Like O'Malley School is like the furthest. Then after that, What?
The hinterland.
Yeah, that's the hinterlands. And all of West Gloucester, any place in West Gloucester is the hinterland, right?
The tundra.
it's just like a different continent. Like my friend Chris, he moved to Gloucester. He ended up moving to a beautiful house called Stanwood. It's the end of Woodward Ave. It's way down there.
It's way away.
It's another continent. I'm telling you. I'm like, what are you doing? Why'd you move way over there?
Listeners,
we're over here.
In case you're not from around here, that's 15 minutes away. It's literally only 15 minutes.
Yeah, but everything, we don't need anything outside of our little circle right here. We have Stop and Shop. We have the beach. And we have my work, and we have Rocky Neck restaurants. I don't really need anything else.
And Main Street, right? And Main Street.
In the winter, yeah. But in the summer, I don't like. I don't like to go past the first set of lights.
Yeah, well, I do feel the same way you do. I don't like to leave Gloucester in the summertime. I get a little bummed out when I have to leave Gloucester in the summertime. I really don't want to leave in the summer.
Anybody that takes vacation in the summer?
Yeah.
I have to, I'm like, are you outside of your mind? Why would you leave here?
Why would you?
You could take time off from work.
Right.
I mean, that would be a dream. I couldn't even imagine. I've never had a week off in July,
July
or August.
August?
Or I can't even imagine how, those people, a lot of people, that have regular jobs, they take off usually from Fiesta through the 4th of July. I couldn't even imagine.
Can you imagine that, yeah.
How unbelievable that would be. Retired people, that's like a retirement goals, to be able to actually enjoy Fiesta in the 4th of July.
Right, and then have a week off in August, and yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Mm. So people, I've been running into people around town, and they're like, you take a lot of vacations, and I'm like,
people don't understand.
They have no idea, my word. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's such long days. It's such long days.
May 15th on, it's 100 hours a week.
The only time that you get a day off is if it's really foul weather or whatever.
And it has to be
a
hurricane. A
hurricane, right.
And they I just look at it and I'm like, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But whatever. Last night, I got out of work, and we went to, I met Kate for, I had a weird thing where I had one boat coming in at 6:30 and one boat coming in at 7:30 towards the end of the night. And so I texted Kate because she's tired right now for some reason. And I knew she didn't want to cook. So I said, why don't you meet me? We'll meet at Minglewood, we'll get some sushi. So we met I had fantastic sushi.
Not in between boats. After.
In between the boats.
Oh,
so 6:30, I'm like, I got an hour. I can go get something to eat.
Right. Okay.
And then come back. So we go to Minglewood, had great sushi, came back, unloaded the second boat. And then my friend Chris McCarthy, he was on the podcast a couple weeks ago, he's like, let's meet at the Crow's Nest. I'm like, the Crow's Nest? I'm like, all right, let's go to the Crow's Nest. Let's do this. Why not, right? So the night before we went out, there was five of us all together, five couples, right?
Oh, wow, that's a nice-sized group.
It's a nice-sized group, and we went to Lobster Land for dinner. Oh. My whole entire life, 50 years in this city, 50 years born, I had never been to Lobster Land for dinner.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And people rave about it.
Right. I love their spicy seafood stew or whatever it is. It's
the really food looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Everything that came out was fantastic. And some of these couples we went with,
you didn't go because it's over the bridge. It's too far up.
That's exactly right. Well, I just never think to go there. But even I hear good things about it. So we go. The food was great. The service was outstanding. And my friends were all a bunch of savage animals. This group from Bishop Fenwick that is infiltrating Gloucester.
They're migrating here.
And it's I know what it is. They come here, and it's like vacation land. They think that they're working still, but it's they feel like they're on vacation, so they want to go hard every single night.
And their kids are the kids.
The kids are grown
up,
you know what I mean?
College
stuff,
or
so
whatever,
they're not.
Yeah.
And so we go there, and they're ordering. I'm like, oh my God, we were supposed to go to Palana last night, the night after.
And where is Palana?
Have you never not been to Palana? Mm-mm. Palana is. Where near where the old Howard Johnson's, but no, where's the pancake place in Danvers, between the two malls?
Oh.
The House of Pancakes, International House of Pancakes.
Okay, no, I don't know where that is, but is it on 128?
What do you mean you don't know where that is? The International House of Pancakes?
No, I don't know where it is.
When did you move directly from Boston to Gloucester?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, okay. Because it hasn't been open for a long time. So
yeah.
When we were growing up, though, everybody knew where that place was. It was like the big, kind of like a peak. Anyway.
Oh, on Route 1? No, on 114? No, I don't know.
It's kind of like, if you're going from the Liberty Tree Mall to the North Shore Shopping Center.
Right, it's in there.
That kind of like across from the bagel place.
Is it still there? It's not still there.
It's closed now, but the building is still there. Okay. Very distinct building. But,
okay.
So behind that, you know what Petco is?
Yes, yeah.
Directly across the street from Petco.
Okay.
Where there's that weird gas station kind of.
Yeah, and car dealership.
In behind there.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
So Palana is this fantastic steakhouse.
Oh, really?
It's it's on the level of Grill 23, Morton's. Like,
really?
And if you walk in those doors, you think you're in.
I mean, it really smells and feels like it.
But I mean, it has like the dark wood paneled walls, the ceilings. It's incredibly fancy. It's a great place to go for a special dinner.
Yeah.
For if you have a guy that like is a steak guy.
Right.
That's like literally the place on the North Shore that you would take them. So anyway, so these people that we went out with, they're all big ballers, like out of my category, way out of my category by two or three steps. Like have very successful businesses that are, like they're freewheeling,
no care.
So when we were at
Lobster Land.
They were saying, this guy Kevin is going to go with us to Palana tomorrow night. And they go, oh, he's really rough to go with because, like, he throws the money. You know, he wants to show you how well his taste is. And he'll, like, go in and he'll say, what's your most expensive bourbon? And it'll be, like, $26 a glass or something like that.
And he's
ordering a bunch of them. And, you know, when you go out with a group of, like, five couples...
Right.
You're going to split it.
I'm not going to
be the person that
says,
I only got this, so I'm only paying that. Sometimes it works out in your favor. Sometimes it doesn't. But that's just the way you play it.
I know, but a $26 bottle of bourbon. $26 glasses.
Bourbon. And then ordering like double entrees and stuff like that. I'm like, so we were supposed to, thankfully, it got canceled. Because, like, I'm not interested in going out for a $300 dinner.
Right.
No. Not interested. So I guess getting back to the original point is our dinner got canceled, thankfully, last night at Palana. And Chris ends up saying, let's go and get a drink at the Crow's Nest. And the point was, there was an ungodly... Chris posted the bar tab from the Crow's Nest. I'm gonna get it right now. But the bar tab at the Crow's Nest was like under $100 for an ungodly number of drinks.
Wow.
So I texted him like last night. I'm like, oh, I really, really unfortunate that we didn't go to Palana last night.
I just saved $200, $250.
Yeah, exactly. He posted the picture of the bar tab.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put that in the show notes.
Does it itemize everything?
Yeah. It's all handwritten. It's hilarious. It's hilarious how they do that. I have to find it because it's gonna drive me crazy. Just so I can, I'm gonna share you the I'm gonna do the run now. I'll do it another time. But Crow's Nest versus Palana. We had a hell of a time too.
Yeah, I bet.
A hell of a time.
Was it really busy there? Was it super busy?
At the Crow's Nest.
Yeah, Saturday.
No. And you know what? Every time we go there, and literally, it's four times a year maybe. We're up to four times a year. It used to be once on Christmas Eve morning.
Yeah.
Now we're up to like four times a year. Well, but every time we go...
Because now you have a very special memory there as well. So
every time we go, we have a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a blast. The bartenders are great. The people there are funny. It's just... There's always stuff that... It's just crazy. It's just really funny. So we have an update to the Dollar Oyster deal thing.
Okay.
So I put a picture of today's, because Sunday is the big day. Sunday, there's the most number of places that have it.
Right.
And So I tagged the three restaurants that have it today: Short and Main, Feather and Wedge, and Captain Carlo's.
Okay.
Captain Carlo's all day.
And no, okay, sorry. I was just going to say, did any other restaurants come in? Did we miss any?
Not that we, I haven't heard from any yet, so that's great. But there is an addition to, so I'm going to explain it now.
Okay.
So the people from Short and Main, after I tagged them on, I just made a little mini chart for Sunday.
Yes.
Saying where you can go.
Where you can go.
And I put it on Instagram.
Oh, okay, great. Oh,
and I tagged them, so they saw that, and they're like, thank you. He goes, we have it regularly every day. He goes, we currently have dollar oysters every day to 5 to 6 p.m. And again, from 9 to 10 p.m. Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and 10 to 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
That's amazing.
So they're doing it not just the opening hour, also the closing hour every day.
Yeah.
So everybody knew about that,
the
5 to 6.
Right.
I don't think a lot of people
knew
about
the
closing one.
Yes.
Good
morning, Gloucester. Value added.
Value added. Yes.
To steal one.
So I have to add. I have to update the spreadsheet and repost it.
Yes, because that is important information. Because that isn't happening anywhere else. Well, except for Captain Carlo's, which has it all day on Sundays.
Yeah,
right?
No, all day. But I mean, it's just it's. I like
that's
that we
awesome.
Had.
We yeah. have. That's awesome. Yeah. That's really extra awesome because. Tom and I like to go, if we go to see a play, then we like to go out to dinner afterwards. And oftentimes we go to the Franklin, but Short and Main would be a good place to go because then we could get oysters and then dinner. Hmm.
When they reached out to me originally, they said, oh, we also have it from 9 to 10 p.m. And I said, and I made sure, though, I go, is it a regular thing,
right.
or is it just this week or something? Because our list has,
and
they said, no, it's definitely a regular thing, regularly scheduled every day thing. So opening hour and closing hour are shortened.
That is tremendous.
I know. Piping Plover Exclosure is coming.
Oh, yes. When so that's the next thing that will happen. When the nest is discovered with eggs in it, then they'll put up the exclosure. And the exclosure, and then at that time, the roped off area will probably go in a little bit. So it won't be so much area roped off.
Right.
Explosure is a large round contraption that is about 6 feet in diameter and about 3 feet tall. And it's constructed of 2-inch wire mesh. And this allows, so it's called an exclosure because it allows the plover, adults and babies, to run freely in and out, but it excludes other small mammals and larger birds like seagulls and crows from entering and eating the piping plover eggs. So right now, our owls in this area haven't figured out what, because we don't have that many. So for example, on Cranes Beach, where they had a lot of nests and with a lot of exclosures, great horned owls would perch on the edge of the exclosure and pick off the parents as the parents ran in and out. The wildlife around, the owls around here haven't figured out that yet. So you know, the exclosures are really, really, really helps keep the eggs safe, keeps them from being trampled on by dogs, fox, you know, whatever. Fox also eat piping plover eggs.
We have fox around here right now? Are they making a comeback?
I feel like we have lost most of our fox in East Gloucester. I used to see them every single night, early in the morning. But in West Gloucester, I have seen fox.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like, and there's fewer coyotes in West Gloucester. There's more coyotes in East Gloucester because there's more people and more. But an interesting thing about fox is because when coyotes destroy foxes' dens, foxes are now building their dens closer and closer to human structures because it's safer than being out in the woods, because a coyote will be less likely
to go
near a house.
Wow.
So I thought that was interesting.
Very interesting.
Learning about that. Yeah, but because fox are much better hunters of white-footed mice and
less Lyme disease.
More fox equals less Lyme.
There you go. You have really nice things to say about the new animal control officer. What's the person's name?
It's Tegan Dolan. Okay. T-E-A-G-A-N.
Oh, Italian guy.
No, he's super, super nice, and he's super interested in what's going on with the plovers. I've seen him down on the beach. I've already noticed a difference in the number of dogs on the beach running around in the dunes.
He wears an official outfit.
Yeah, he does.
So that,
yeah. And
that,
he has an official car, too, as well.
Yeah, well, that gives you a little bit more authority and stuff. Like, the people will respect that.
Respect that. And plus, he's really nice. He's not being, like, you know...
Bully
about it. He's just really nice, and... one thing that was, so I was showing him where the rope had broken, and he just whipped out his trusty knife and cut and, you know, fixed it himself. He didn't, you know, so, and he's just, and he is going to be more, like, today, I'm going back to stay with the plovers for the better part of today, because it's an off-leash day, and they're getting close to laying eggs.
Oh my God, you must be a nervous wreck right now.
A little bit,
no.
But that's all right. Mm. And he's going to be coming. He works on Sundays, so he's going to be coming by also today to help with the dogs. I think so.
Plover Patrol.
Yeah, I know.
The swans were released yesterday, right?
Yeah, the young swan that folks might remember that Lynn. We had a young swan that Jody Swanson brought to Niles Pond.
And we didn't know what it was.
Yes.
Like, you know,
we were hoping it was a girl, but when the first big freeze at Niles Pond, the swan got frozen into the pond. So Dan Harris and Lynn Fonzo, Eastern Point residents, rescued the swan. And at that time, it had to be checked out at Dr. Cahill, Seaport Vet, and he gave the swan a DNA test. That's the only way you can tell with young swans. We learned that he was a male. So anyways, Lynn had this beautiful enclosure, custom renovated by this really nice woman, Joel Monroe Carpenter, and they fixed up this beautiful chicken coop with a swimming pool, a heated little area. It was really nice. And I mean, it was a tremendous amount of work for Lynn, because you have to clean the cage, this giant cage, every single day and put new hay out.
This is Lynn's child.
Lynn has horses, Lynn has dogs, Lynn goes to Aruba to rescue dogs. Lynn is a very loving, caring.
God bless her.
Yeah,
she's a little heart.
She is very loving, very caring of all wildlife. Anyway, so Dan and Lynn scooped up the swan, put a blanket over him, brought him to the water's edge, and he didn't fly. That was part of the problem. He doesn't fly yet. There's nothing wrong with his wings, but he hasn't quite figured out the flying thing. And he swam right to the reeds, and then he swam down to another gentleman who takes Skip, who's been taking care of the swans the longest. He's been taking care of them since he moved there in 1992. That's how we know Mr. Swan is 28 years old. The young swan went down to Skip's dock and took the longest swan bath you've ever seen in your life, because it couldn't take, like, it couldn't get fully wet winter long. So
it was probably in that enclosure. He probably didn't have a chance to fly.
Before,
how's he going to fly if he's locked up in the...
That, he couldn't fly.
You better
fly
make
there.
Sure that the PETA people don't get a hold of this story. The swan in captivity. It's similar to the orcas down in SeaWorld. You're going to have people picketing at Lynn's house. They're going to go back and forth in front of the house.
It would have died if
I
we
understand,
didn't.
But
and also,
very harsh.
You know who
feelings.
Gave us good advice? Who? Was Melissa Smith. So if you recall, Cedar Rock Gardens, Tucker Smith.
Yeah.
And Elise. Mm-hmm. Well, Tucker's father and mother used to raise swans and all kinds of exotic wildlife for the Boston Public Garden.
Oh,
and,
right.
Right. And so I called Melissa, and she gave us tremendous advice on how to capture him, what to provide for him for the winter. And
how to keep it locked down and not be able to fly.
Well, hopefully it will figure out how to fly. It hasn't figured that
just
out.
It's like riding a bike.
You'd think, but see, the swan did not imprint on a swan when it
may think it's a human, right?
Yeah, it thinks it's not doesn't really quite understand that it's a swan. So
does,
we don't know if we if he thinks he's a human or a duck or what. he doesn't.
Quite. You can hold a mirror up to it and like, this is you.
This is you.
You're a swan. You're supposed to fly. Go like flapping your wings. I could see like a bunch of you like going around dancing around, flapping your arms around, trying to get it to go. Anyway. I know this is 40 minutes longer than you wanted to do this podcast for.
No, that's great.
But thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is GloucesterCast 276, just me and my buddy Kim. We got it done.
Yeah, we did.
Screw everybody else. Just us. Boom.
Now, do you want me to get you anything before I go?
We're still taping.
Oh, we are? I thought you turned it off.
You're fucking